How would you describe someone that lives in Chester County? Or let's narrow the parameters. North Coventry Township. That's where we live, most of us, many of us. How would you describe someone that lives in North Coventry Township? Are they friendly? Are they helpful? Are they private, kind, generous, approachable, grumpy, greedy? You know, it really probably depends on who you meet, who you've met, and what their day was like in some sense. Generally speaking, I'm going to give you another kudos. My inclination is that Coventry church people, our family, trends towards being people who are willing to help and to serve and to do good. We tend to act when we see a need, and when it comes to serving, we who are many, we have many who are ready to jump in. We're sharing this morning a scripture from the book of Titus. It's in your Bibles. If you want to turn to that in your pew Bibles, it's page 1700. It's a small little letter written from Paul to one of the people that was serving under Paul, Titus. And he was serving on this island, it's called Crete. He was helping to establish the church there. It's an easy read. You can read this in less than 5 minutes. And you should, to get the full context of what he's doing. If you do that, you're going to see a phrase that's repeated 8 times. And when you see something repeated that often in a short letter, it gets to the theme of what he's trying to drive into Paul. This is what I want you to really encourage them to do and to be. It's about transformation. It's about our hearts changing and being transformed when we know God. When we know God or come to know God and we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, we don't stay as we were. We don't stay as we were. There's a transformation that happens. We don't let the cultural practices conform us, but rather we willingly participate with the Holy Spirit who transforms us to be more like Jesus. The portion of the letter that I chose to read reveals God's goodness as the motivation for that. God's goodness and his kindness. And it reveals that we should devote our lives to doing what is good. Titus 3:1-8. Paul says to Titus, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. That's one of the 8 times where it's mentioned. Remind them, be ready to do whatever is good. Remind them not to slander, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Meaning to Titus, say that often. Tell them about what God has done. And he says, I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. I just want to remind you of 2 things this morning. First is the goodness of God. This is what motivates us to be agents of doing good. Because God is good, we are good. How would you describe the goodness of God? All right, this is what I want you to meditate upon as you read Scripture, as you think about it daily. How would you think about God's goodness? Well, his creation is exploding with his goodness around us. We have air to breathe. We're living in a place where gravity is just right. We see the sun. We have the moon. It's really, really, really good. In fact, there's no other place in the observable universe from light years away that has these characteristics, right? I'm just expanding this goodness of our Creator. Your body is made so well that it self-heals. It fights off disease. It cut and it clots. You have an awesome, great Creator. He is so good. We have a great provider. We have a God who's given us His commands, and they're good. We have a God who is fair and just and will provide judgment for the evildoers, for us. We have a God who has given us a Savior, became a Savior. We call Him Lord. He's a great Master. He's a good Shepherd. Are you blessed to know the kindness of our God? He's treated us in a way that we don't deserve. Paul reminds Titus a few times in this letter, remind them of this. He sprinkles it in. Here's another case where he does it. Titus 2, 11 to 14. If your Bible's over, just look back to chapter 2 and verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we await for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good." There it is again. It's all through this letter. But what precedes it is, remember what God has done. His goodness is poured out for us. God's goodness is greater than our rebellion. God's goodness is greater than our sin. And His goodness should transform us. Once we were, Paul says, and part of looking at God's goodness is like, oh my gosh, man, I was just not worthy of that. That's true for all of us. Once, he says to them, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. But God broke into that, revealing our need for a Savior. And he says, I saved you. Receive it. Now, sometimes we might have glimpses of those things, but that's not our nature anymore. Paul says in chapter 3 and 3, we read this, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That shouldn't be our characteristics in the church. This island, you can look it up on your Bible map, the island of Crete, they had a reputation. That's why I ask you, how are we known? How is Coventry Church known? Well, we had an outsider come in and said, you're very friendly coming in today. So way to fake them. Just what I taught you, whenever we get outsiders, act nice and kind. No, of course not. Let's be hospitable. Let's put Christ on display. Are we perfect in that? No. But listen, the Cretans were described, if you go back and read this in chapter 1, liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. One of their own poets wrote that about them. Paul quotes this poet. His name was Epimenides. He wrote that in the 6th century BC. So 600 years before Paul was there, they had a poet. And he wrote this down about the people living there. And Paul quotes it in his letter to Titus. Like, these people were known for this. This is why they're not doing any good. Some of that's still hanging around, even though Christ has come and broken into it. In Greek literature, to cretinize meant to lie. Ah! Oh, North Coventry. Oh, those people. They're all about themselves. They don't even talk to their neighbors. They don't even know their neighbors. I mean, they're lazy liars and gluttons. What? What are we displaying? What's the reputation of the church in North Coventry, in America? My devotional reading from Jeremiah this week had me read this verse. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. Do you know how to do good? Should we know how to do good? Yeah, we should. Why? Because we have a good, good Father in heaven. He has displayed his goodness. He displays his goodness in your life all the time. The gospel of Jesus Christ had broken into the culture of the island of Crete, but the cultural norm was resisting the transformation to do good as Jesus did good. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ has reached us. How will we respond to his goodness? There's days where I don't want to do good. You have them too. What encourages me to first of all rest in God's goodness is to remember and have a knowledge of who God is. How are we going to respond to this? We have to remember the kindness and the love of God, knowledge of him, know who God is, what is the truth about God. Meditate and reflect daily upon God's goodness. And we say, we love because he first loved us. Think about it. Turn to your Bibles, read about it, listen to scripture. Listen to music. Remind yourself of who God is and his goodness. And secondly, a response to the kindness and love of God, it requires submission to his will and then a willingness to act in goodness. There's a lot of ways we can act. There's a lot of options. Let's choose to act in goodness. Titus 3:4-7 was what Paul said. It reminds us that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. So we say, thank you, Jesus. He saved us because of his mercy, not because we deserved it. Rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, we can celebrate his presence within us. He's still renewing us day by day. We are made right in God's eyes, justified by his grace. And this tells us, Paul says, you are then heirs. You're part of the family inheritance. You're heirs having the hope of eternal life. That's good news. That's kindness. So that's the first point. If we're going to be devoted to being good, we have to understand God's goodness. I see my tech team is ahead of me. They're ready for the next point. Devoted to being good. Here we go. Second point. Devote to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to something. What are you devoted to? Devoted. Being devoted to doing good. You know what it's like to be devoted to a person, right? Tracy and I are celebrating 29 years of marriage today. We're devoted to one another. Someone's celebrating 60, I think, this year. The Crispins back there, 60, right? We're not even half years. Wow, that's amazing. Devotion to one other person, right? Some of you know what it means to be devoted to your children, right? You have to, right? Devoted to caring for little ones. They can't care for themselves. Some of you have nurses or doctors, and you have patients you're devoted to, or a friend. Some of you know what it's like to be devoted to an activity, to exercising, to a hobby, or to a job, or to a cause. Devotion means you give all or a large part of one's time or resources to this. Paul wants us to be devoted to doing good. So you need some time to flesh that out and what that means in your life. So I'm going to make some general statements about that and then get into some specifics at the end. So doing good takes many forms. Okay? So it catches all of us. All of us at any stage of life. You don't like it. I'm old enough now. I don't have to do good anymore. Or I'm too young to be doing good. I don't know any better. The opportunities for doing good will never be exhausted. Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. We're never going to get to the end and say, there is no more good for us to do in our neighborhood. We've done it all. That's never going to happen. Never. Never, ever, ever. That can be overwhelming to me because I want to get it done. Let's get it. So there has to be some discernment about how much and where you do good. Discernment to the situations where you are involved and how you are needed. So there's a talent-based thing there. Good works wants people to show up and do that, but if you keep tearing up all the shingles while we're trying to roof and you keep breaking every single one, they might say, we got a better job for you. It's going to be down here. It's just going to be passing them up, not putting them on. So you have to be discernment in how we use gifts, but also where relationships can be built to represent Christ. So here's another thing that you may remember. Doing good doesn't mean you have to or can fix a situation. You might be able to help them get the tub fixed or the plumbing working, but ultimately we're going after heart transformation. And that's God's business. We're just a tool. We're just a vessel. We just try to reflect and tell. The passage does give two suggestions for doing good. In Titus 3:14, it says, provide for urgent needs. Sometimes I don't think we see all the need that's out there because there's a lot of perception that everyone is good in our community. We have houses for our cars, right? We have enough money to care for many things and sometimes have multiple locations to care for. There's that perception, but there is need in every household around here. It may not be the kind of work that Good Work is doing, but there is need. What are the urgent needs? I listened to a message this when I was on sabbatical down at Connection Church with Pastor Lewis. He was here one Sunday. Many of you heard him talk to you. When I was down there, he talked to us about the Good Samaritan story, the Good Samaritan who cared for the person along the road. He says, in order to be a Good Samaritan, you have to have open eyes. You got to see the need. Now, the needs come into good works, but we who are just out there trying to do works and be available to that, you got to see the need. You got to have open eyes. You got to have an open heart. You got to have a heart that's ready to do good. And open hands, you get involved. And an open wallet. There may be some financial costs to doing this. Provide for urgent needs. Pay attention to urgent needs. And then also, the other thing the passage suggests was that we are to live productive lives. Productive lives. And I would say that we want to define this productivity by the kingdom standard. Defining productivity in the kingdom of heaven means a good tree bears good fruit for the kingdom. Productivity doesn't mean just define it by the culture or our standards, but by kingdom standards. Provide for urgent needs and live productive lives. In the example of Jesus, how do we know that? Good is defined by Scripture. What God calls good, we call good. Sometimes the world now calls evil good, and they get it twisted. And they let every person define what is good. That's not what we're to do. We're supposed to let Scripture and God and Jesus define good. That challenges all of us. All of us. In the example of Jesus, the physical and the spiritual are connected. That's why it's really great that Good Works is doing physical work. They're building houses, but they're also having people just concerned about the spiritual health, the relational component. That's connected. Jesus turned water to wine. It was a physical act to not bring disgrace upon the people hosting the wedding. He provided healing to lepers, bleeding women, and the blind. He washed feet, and he had his feet washed. He met the Samaritan woman. He ate with Zacchaeus, tax collectors. There's all kinds of goodness involved in Jesus' life. It challenges us. It moves us. The example of Jesus, it's words and actions. Words and actions. Devoted to doing good. The last slide is this. What are ways to do good right now? Right now. So if we're going to be devoted to this, it's going to be something that just happens kind of, we learn to live in a way that just reflects this in our normal habits. So it just happens organically. You can see the need when you go, it just becomes habit. So do good in your natural, your normal rhythms. Doing good might be holding a door for someone. It might be carrying groceries. It might be helping a stranded motorist. It might be helping someone in need in some way, financially, or listening to someone in despair. It might be doing good by praying. We send out prayer requests to you as they come to us. Urgent prayer requests. We should be praying. That's how you do good. All kinds of ways to do good. You get involved to help. There might be urgent needs that come across you, your life, this week. Medical care, life-threatening situation, caring for babies. They become pretty urgent when they're screaming. They're screaming. They're crying. Excuse me. Ways to do good right now. Service in your local church. Service here at Coventry Church. Do good because we believe in the ministry that we're doing. Ongoing ministries with our children, with our youth. We've been asking for people to sign up to help with our youth. As Pastor Jesse transitions out of service here into somewhere else, we're looking for people to fill that gap until we get someone else. Filling in where there's a need. Do good. Special activities like Autumn Fest. We still need a few people to help with that. Just come to the meeting here in a few minutes. Shannon will plug you in somewhere. It's also doing good because we want to be out, not just focusing everything here, but going out. You participate with parachurch ministries like Good Works, like Embracing Hope Ethiopia, like Salvation Army and their amazing race, like a Plotstown cluster. First Friday of every month, we have a team. I think it's fairly regular, the same people serving a homeless meal, serving the homeless in our community. Why not get involved in that? Donating beans. Do good. Building an Operation Christmas shoebox. Do good. You know what happens when you go out and do good in the example of Christ and you sacrifice and you give? There is a rich blessing there for you. Joe stood here and told his story, his testimony, and he was almost overcome with tears a couple of times because of how God has used him to bless others. Doing good. Praise team, you can come. Doing good is our response to God's goodness and kindness. Respond to God's goodness. Do good. Be a good dude. Be a good dude. Be a good dude and do it. Be a good deed doer. Now say that three times fast. Good deed doer. You can be a good dude. Good dudette. Doing good to others is a means to demonstrate grace and mercy, putting Jesus on display and opening the door to share the gospel. You might say, this person doesn't deserve good. Remember how God treated you. Man. Doing good does not get you into heaven. You can't do enough good to get to heaven. But it does align you with the activities of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, anybody want to do good? As a result of what you heard this morning. Man, every hand should be up. After a Good Works presentation and after that sermon, marginally good sermon, responding to that, it requires us to not be self-consumed. It requires us not to be too busy with the things that the world offers. It requires something of us, a response to who God is. Praise be to God that we can serve Him by doing good to others. Let's stand and sing.